5, 4, 3, 2. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the 8th episode now, the 8th episode of the Sports Hour Podcast. Peyton, alongside Toby, Grady, Chuck, we're back at it another week. Guys, how have you been since we last talked?
It's been a fun week, a week full of high school basketball, a week of course, Ole Miss baseball, Mississippi State baseball. Baseball is getting into full spring, full swing now that it's the springtime. We got warmer weather coming up, so positive energy from every direction, really.
Oh, it's been a good week for sports. Not so good on the academics. It's been midterm week all week for me.
That's an L.
It is. Huge L.
So did you make it out to a high school basketball game this week?
I did not get to, man. I wanted to so bad, but I didn't realize it was today.
Put those air quotes. I wanted to, you know.
Hey, I know Tisch County got a win.
So. Tisch County did get a win. We'll talk about that later.
Just been so busy with work and school. Was not able to see any high school basketball, but good week all together, academics, sports-wise. John Morant tonight made my night.
We're going to talk plenty about John Morant a little bit later and the Grizzlies and the NBA in general as it continues to get out of the trade deadline. We advance further in the season. More dramatic, more exciting. But you talked about your work, Chuck. Let's start with that. We are now 2 weekends into college baseball, and I think you're starting to, in some areas, see a little bit more of a clearer picture after 2 weeks, and then in some areas, I think I'm more lost than I was a week ago at this time. One big thing that sticks out to me, we gave Mississippi State some flack for losing to Long Beach State, and then we're like, you know, but Long Beach State's usually pretty decent. That'll be a, you know, not a good series loss. There's no such thing as a good series loss, but at least one that you can accept early on in the season. Well, then Long Beach State goes and gets swept by Sacramento State.
That was what I was going to say, too. So, last week I said that Long Beach State looked like a for sure Omaha team. That was going to be one of my things where I talked about myself. This past week going and getting, was it 2 out of 3 to Sacramento State?
No, they got swept.
They got swept by Sacramento State. So, yeah, that wasn't a very valid take that I took, but I guess that's baseball, though.
Yeah, it is baseball. And you look at State, ended up winning the series this weekend, but dropped a game to Northern Kentucky, who, after looking at the analytics from the first week of baseball, they graded out as one of the worst teams of college baseball after 1 week. And, of course, that's 1 weekend, but still. But regardless of that,
did they beat Landon Sims Friday?
Yes, they beat Landon Sims on Friday. They just
sat on his fastball and hit his fastball.
Pretty.
That's what teams will have to do the rest of the year.
I think we're 2 weeks in now, and can we start making the argument that until we see it, that Mississippi State should not be in the top 10?
It's too early to tell. They did just win a national championship. I think you have to go at least 3 to 4 weeks. I mean, they did win the series. I mean, of course, they're not a very good team. But 3 games in a row beating the same team is pretty hard to do. They got beat 2 out of 3 against Long Beach. They beat Arkansas Pine Bluff really bad. So, I mean, what are we, 5, 6 games in the season? I mean, of course there's an argument to take them out of the top 10, but I think it's still way too early to make that decision.
You know, baseball, you come in every day, and it's a new game, a new series, everything. I think I've seen them anywhere from 9 or 12 right now. They're on that bubble, but any SEC school losing early, don't worry about it. They're gonna get it together.
Looking at the D1 baseball rankings, starting from the bottom, a couple of notable teams. Long Beach State drops all the way to 25. East Carolina dropped out of the rankings this week. Sacramento State, they're now 7-0 after sweeping Long Beach State. They're at number 23 on the season now in the rankings. Liberty, after their series win against Florida last week, they're at number 26-1. Tennessee at 7-0, number 17. Georgia 15 at 7-0. Mississippi State's at 9. NC State is at 8. LSU at 7. Stanford at 6. Vanderbilt 5. Oklahoma State at 4. Arkansas drops down from 2 to 3 after going 1-1 on the weekend, and the Rebels are at 2 now, went up one spot over Arkansas, and then Texas. Until Texas loses a series, I think they're going to be the clear consensus number 1 throughout the rest of the year.
Me and Toby were talking before, Peyton, you got here, about the upcoming weekend, just the slate of games that are coming up, and Ole Miss, of course, has Central Florida. That'll be a tough task to uphold, and then we also talked about how Texas has Tennessee this weekend, so that's going to be –
I think that's their first true test coming off their first two series where they played some decent teams. But I think Tennessee, that's going to be the series that you're going to see if Texas is going to be that top five team the whole year. And that's a tough matchup.
And I know Mississippi State, they go to Tulane this weekend too.
That's also a tough matchup.
Yeah. I think if Tennessee wins two out of three, I think they're top eight next week. If they sweep, they're definitely going to be top five.
Oh, yeah. Tennessee's tough.
Yeah. No,
it's the only thing with that, though, 17 to top five, that's a little tough to do.
That's Texas, though.
I honestly could say this, though. If they beat Texas two out of three, I think they take Mississippi State's spot at number nine.
But here's the thing. Texas, looking at people talk about Texas this year, I don't know if I've heard more people talk about, okay, this is the consensus best team in college baseball, as people have with Texas.
But this year is Texas. Everybody, they say they're going to be the best every single year in every single sport. So,
and in baseball, they're usually up there. I will give them that. You can joke about them in football, but the Longhorns are always a Omaha contender in baseball.
I mean, they were a few outs away from beating Mississippi State last year, and they returned just about everybody with a great recruiting class. So, I mean, you really can't knock them for what they are this year.
From what you've seen this year coming up, is it pretty consensus that Texas and Ole Miss are the two best teams in college baseball?
I wouldn't say consensus at this point.
You can't say yet. It's only 2 weeks
in. Don't get me wrong. The Rebels have looked great. I think the Rebels might have the best offense in college baseball. I think their offense might be a little bit more lethal than Texas's. However, the Rebels have played some pretty soft competition in the early going. Let's just be completely real with that. I don't think they've played absolute scrubs by any means. I'm not saying that. But I don't think the Ole Miss has gotten truly tested yet. I think, like we've talked about, we're going to see that this weekend when they go down to Central Florida.
We played six games, is that right? And we've run-rolled four times?
Five times.
So, I mean, like you said, soft competition so far. That could be soft competition. That could be that we're hitting the ball really well. But I feel like, as it goes along, more and more.
Well, see, I just one quick all thing. Right. I won't say in baseball there's no such thing as soft competition, because like I've said it for the past 2 weeks, is when you step on a baseball field, no matter if you're number one or number 25, you are always on upset alert.
Yeah, but Charleston Southern, they went and played Citadel during the midweek last week, and they got run-ruled against Citadel too.
Now, I'm not saying, you know, we could look at it now that maybe they're not playing as good or what they aspire to do this year, but I don't necessarily believe in college baseball, unlike football where there are teams that are cupcake teams. I don't necessarily believe that is in baseball.
See, it's still Division I baseball, and to run-roll teams five out of six games is impressive. It doesn't matter who you play.
Right.
This Rebel offense is legit.
Now, I think coming back too with Texas and Ole Miss, what separates them a little bit is I think Ole Miss has just a little bit better of the offense, but I think where Texas kind of edges us at is that bullpen and that starting pitching is a little bit more experienced than Ole Miss is.
What I will say, you know, talking a little bit about the competition, like I said, I don't think that any of the teams the Rebels have played are scrubs, but the combined record of the teams that Ole Miss has played so far is 6-12 in the year. So do keep that in mind. You know,
I'd like to see how they progress throughout
the year. I agree. But Arkansas State is 0-4 right now. Charleston Southern, they rebounded back after the midweek loss. They're 4-4 now in the year. And VCU is now 2-4 on the season after this week.
Does that include the 6-12? Like, that includes Ole Miss beating them, correct?
So yes.
6-6.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't sure about that.
How do you think this series is going to be, you know, coming back? I know JRP's not getting to play, but how do you think kind of overall that series is going to be going against John Rhys Plumlee?
I mean, I don't think, to be honest with you, Toby, I don't think it's going to have any effect. I may be wrong. Chuck would be the guy to ask that. I mean, because, for all intents and purposes, I mean, John's loved by pretty much everybody here in the Ole Miss community. He's not playing, like you said, so I really don't think that's going to be thinking of, oh, you know, we're going up against John, you know, just go to Central Florida to take care of business.
Of course, the commentators, that'll be a big talking point. But other than that, I don't think it really plays any way into the game.
I wish he was playing in this series.
I think everybody wishes he was playing immediately. I mean,
what was do you know the reasoning why NCAA canceled that? I know he had committed late.
He already played for an athletic team this year in college football, which was Ole Miss. Even though it wasn't in baseball, he played for another athletic program this year. So it's kind of wipes the transfer, you know, the one-time free transfer rule for this year. He should be immediately eligible next year, I would believe.
Yes.
But
I know John Rice Plumlee is a freak athlete, and he's been there for a little while now, but I feel like it would be pretty tough to get there like a month or two ago and then take somebody's spot at UCF. Not saying that he couldn't, but that seemed like just something that would be.
You can always use base runners, baby. Always use base runners.
And from what I saw last year, Plumlee was actually pretty good last year.
Yeah, Plumlee was pretty good defensively.
On that team, though,
he was. He's a good hitter too.
Yeah, I mean,
underrated.
We called his shot. Underrated. We were there.
But is there any team that looking at it this year has really kind of shocked you? Because I mean, and let's. Let's say this.
First off, Arkansas.
I was going to say
Mississippi State.
Let's temper this and let's not say Long Beach State, Sacramento State.
Yeah.
One for me would be NC State.
That was what I was about to say. Tommy Tanks. That is
crazy. He's got 9 bombs through 6 games, 5 games.
I believe. Something like that.
7 or 8.
Tommy Tanks, that team, I mean, I knew NC State was going to be good. I knew they were going to come in with a vendetta, you know, after the way they were pushed out of the tournament last year. I believe so. Yeah.
I would love for Dream Omaha, Ole Miss versus NC State.
But for them to be 8-0 at this point, one, I don't think they're getting the respect. You talk about teams not getting respect or getting too much respect in the polls. That's an NC State team that I think right now has showed enough to be top five in this. I always have the mentality of in a season poll, for the most part, if you're unbeaten, you should be at the top. If you got losses, you drop. For the most part.
Where are they at now?
They're at 9. And that's the thing. They are at they're at 8. I'm sorry. They are at 8. LSU with one loss is ahead of them. Stanford's ahead of them with one loss. Vandy's ahead of them with two losses. Texas and Ole Miss at 1-2 are the only unbeatens ahead of them with more 1-2 loss teams ahead.
Is Stanford 5-1?
Stanford 6-1.
6-1.
Picked up a big win over Arkansas this weekend. That's
that's a team that's kind of surprising me a little bit.
I'd heard a lot about Stanford coming in this year, and I don't know, Chuck, how much you had heard. Obviously, them being a West Coast team, how much really you've heard about Stanford. But the Cardinal are always usually pretty tough on the diamond, and they've – man, you go out and beat Arkansas in any sense of the form, you're – you know – Arkansas has struggled a little bit hitting the ball early at this point, but even still, that's still a huge win.
What about Tennessee Saturday? What about Tennessee beating Iona 29-0 Saturday?
Yeah, that's that's.
Stop it! He's dead.
You got your bats going at that point. Yeah. I mean,
no, they got them going.
I mean, there's about not much more you can say there. I mean,
Tennessee's a team I think is getting slighted a little more than NC State is at 17. Did y'all see the guy for them? He's hitting triple digits with a changeup at 90 miles an hour. One of their pitchers.
Oh my goodness!
He's throwing 99 to 103.
Yeah. And then kind of just point out some loss. You know, Samford beat Florida State 7-4. Florida State was ranked number 10. That's kind of a bigger loss. TCU. That's another kind of team. Don't really know where they're like kind of at. You know, some of last year they were a top 10 team, correct? Open the season. Now this year they're kind of like in that middle pack 25.
I want to say they were 6 last year.
Got a TCU story for you guys. This is completely off the rails. So back in 14, when Ole Miss makes Omaha, my brother and my dad, we go out to Omaha to watch Ole Miss. But for all intents and purposes, we're thinking this is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. We got to go out there and watch this. So we go, and we're waiting in line. If you've never been to Omaha, what they do with the ticket line, you draw a number. And when you draw that number, you get in line. You get in line after you draw your number. And say you draw number 64, and they say, all right, the number of the day is 77. Numbers 1 through 76 have to go to the back of the line, and number 77 starts. And it's to make sure that people aren't camping out scalping tickets. So anyway, to explain that, we had no idea what was going on, and we have a TCU fan behind us that has been through this experience before because the Horned Frogs, they make Omaha every so often. So he walks us through this. He ends up like, hey, you know, I wanted to watch Ole Miss anyway. I got tickets with y'all, and y'all want to come to GA. I got tickets with me. We can just hang out. We're like, okay, great. So we get out there, and TCU comes up to bat their leadoff hitter, and name's Boomer White, and the guy all of a sudden just out in the grandstands just starts chanting, Boomer! White! Boomer! Just chanting it, Boomer White back and forth. Nobody joins him. He says, come on, guys, they love this in Fort Worth. So So that's just a funny story that popped in my head about TCU. If you've never been out to Omaha, I don't care if Ole Miss makes it this year or not. You ought to go because Omaha is a once-in-a-lifetime. It's the best baseball atmosphere I've ever been in my life.
I'm just glad we've only played TCU in baseball and no other sport.
We never played them anything else.
No. Last year when we were up in St. Louis, me and Grady, we had the experience of seeing everybody at Omaha. We go through downtown St. Louis, and about 80% of them had state jerseys on, so didn't really enjoy that too much, especially around all the Cardinal fans.
Oh, man. But, yeah, you know, talking about it, college baseball is just so interesting because it's – there's so much – I think we talked about it a little bit last week. There's so much unknown with college baseball. Like, you know, recruiting is getting a little bit more popular to follow, but still not very much. So we talked about, like, for instance, Ole Miss is pitching. We hear from whether it's Chuck or other guys on campus, you know, hey, we're bringing in this guy and this guy, and this guy's looked really well, and this guy, he's supposed to be pretty good. He's transferred in. But besides that, if you're not on campus, you're not hearing these things – pretty much everybody thinks there's a question mark there. And if you talk to anybody about Ole Miss this year that was within the program, they said, we're not really worried about the pitching. We've got confidence in the staff. So to see all these teams that had so many questions that we didn't know about because recruiting transfers aren't very popularized like they are in football and baseball or basketball in college, it just makes it so interesting when you see these teams pop up out of nowhere. I mean, like, for instance, a Liberty or a Maryland or you know, Notre Dame was good last year, but Arizona, we talked about Arizona. I thought they weren't going to be very good at all this year with a mass exodus. They're top 10, 7-1. So it's really just interesting to see how in these first 2 weeks, like I said, we know a little bit more about some teams, but some teams are just still completely blown out of the water, and we really don't know much about them yet.
What's a travesty, though, about college baseball is that, like, axe throwing, cornhole, I mean, even Euphoria on ESPN, these things are mentioned more by ESPN than college baseball is.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a travesty and all a slight to college baseball. If you get on the ESPN app, you can select your favorite women's soccer team before you can select your favorite men's baseball team. There's no slight to women's soccer at all, but it's just a great American travesty that there's so much less attention paid towards college baseball.
Like, I'm on ESPN right now just kind of looking through the app like I normally do when we talk, we do these discussions. Like, you could click on a team and then click their logo and it pulls up nothing.
Yeah.
And it is sad. Like, we can go on 247 Sports and they've got basketball, football. The only way you can keep up with recruiting in baseball is if you're subscribed to Baseball America, if you're subscribed to D1 Baseball. There's no other outlets that are giving you the options to keep up with baseball.
The only major news source in America that does baseball – like slightly is CBS Sports, but Fox doesn't. ESPN for sure doesn't. Mm-hmm. I guess because it's just a regional thing, I guess. I mean, California, West Coast, Southeast, but for the mainstream ESPN Sports, I mean, they don't pay attention to baseball.
Even SEC Network doesn't show baseball highlights.
Right.
Your own conference doesn't even show arguably your second best like field of athletes. Uh-huh. They don't even
mention them.
I don't
think it's arguable. I think top to bottom, honestly, top to bottom, it might be your best in terms of talent. I mean, SEC pumps out baseball talent.
And I can see right now it's the first – or we're getting there and we're there now. We're March now where it's
March. Happy March, everybody. This is recorded at 12:01 tonight.
Yeah, it's March now. Basketball, college basketball. It's a big time of the year. But with the talent, like we said, in college baseball, with the hype that's in college baseball, it's so sad to see that it's just overlooked year in and year out, especially this year with a lockout going on.
Toby, you pulled something up. I'm curious. Or not Toby, Chuck. You pulled something up.
We're talking about college baseball. If you get out of the deep south and southeast and all that, it's not very big at all. I think it's because of the lack of exposure it gets. But Oregon State's probably one of the premier baseball programs, one of them,
absolutely,
in the country. And their biggest attendance they ever had was a 2018 Super Regional. And the attendance was 4,025.
Wow. I would have never guessed that.
And
Ole Miss doubles that just about every midweek.
We had 11,000 on a Friday night against Charleston
Southern. It's 25 degrees outside and raining.
That's true.
It's crazy. And it really is like that.
That's crazy. You know, our student section packs out that whole stadium.
We get so entranced with the idea of, you know, college baseball down here and how big it is. And it is big in the Southeast. That's one place college baseball is huge. But you, like Chuck said, you extend out past the Southeast and Texas, You really? I mean, have y'all ever watched a Big Ten college baseball game?
No.
It's one of the saddest things you ever watch in your life. You got 400 people in the stands. Northeast baseball brings out more people than Michigan.
Northeast baseball complex is better than probably Ohio State's baseball complex.
Yeah. I mean, it's sad to see.
You look at it. Look at
no, Ohio State's I'm being that's complex. He's being yeah. legitimate.
You he, does, look he, hasn't, at, he hasn't seen the
you go
field,
look
he
at,
hasn't been there.
You
since
go.
They built it.
I haven't. Yeah. I was there the year it was being built.
Yeah,
I,
you go look. You go look at some of the complexes up north, like Northwestern, like you said, Ohio State, some of those Big Ten, you know, Big East type schools. It really is. I mean, the complexes that Northeast has, that East Mississippi just put a lot of money in their baseball field. Heck, I mean, there's high school baseball programs. Myrtle just got turf fields over
yep.
in small little Myrtle, Mississippi. They got turf infield, mm-hmm. and they're building a better facility than a college up like Ohio State has.
You can go look at Ohio State's field right now, pull up a picture. They got one row of bleachers and grass slopes down the sides. That's what they have.
Wow. That's so sad.
I'm going to have to get somebody to fact check that. I don't know if it's that to that degree.
I mean, you could probably look, and it's probably about it.
But either way.
Chuck's fact checking you. Chuck's
fact-checking
you. He's asking Professor Google over there.
He's about right.
Really? About is right. he about right? Grady, wow. Valid. Let's go. You know, let's talk about, we joked a little bit about high school. Let's move off of the college baseball for a second, and let's talk high school basketball, because we're recording right now after the 1 and 4A finals, or semifinals, have just been played on this Monday evening. Biggersville will face off against Lumberton in 1A and girls and yeah. Byers in 1A boys. I have not seen any 4A results today. I've been traveling back from Jackson.
Clarksdale won and
Clarksdale did win. I saw Clarksdale against New Albany when they beat them at Memorial Gymnasium. That was a big win, and I figured they were going to have a chance to make it.
They won by 20 plus today. They only beat New Albany by like 5, didn't they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tishomingo County girls won today. They're playing in the championship.
They won in overtime.
Yes.
Great ball game.
Yeah, Raymond is going to face Clarksdale on the men's side. And as for the women, I'm going to try to find that as quick as I can. It'll be Choctaw Central versus Tishomingo County. So that's two bunch of good championship
premier
games.
Basketball teams.
Where's Choctaw Central?
On the reservation, Choctaw Central.
Well,
you ever went and played a game there? It's pretty cool. They play the Choctaw National Anthem as well as the American National.
Really? That's
yes,
really interesting.
And when they play softball, they play on their stickball field. So they play stickball field where they play their softball games. Nettleton played them in the playoffs 1 year, so that's how I know that.
So, you know, we've been doing Team of the Weeks, Player of the Weeks. Do you, anybody come to your mind, whether it be from today at the Big House or last Friday? Because
yes,
I knew you were at Nettleton Boonville, but...
Yeah, I'll get to that, too. Mm-hmm. But my girl player of the week, and it's from that ball game, it's Ava Kate Smith. She had only 10 points in the win over Nettleton, but I want to get into that a little bit more. I'll do my girls' Player of the Week first, and then I'll do the boys. They beat my high school team. They beat Nettleton High School. But Ava Kate Smith, if you know, the coach at Boonville is Michael Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Ava Kate is Michael's freshman daughter. She's a freshman point guard for Boonville High School. And as a freshman and as someone that leads a team that is really, really good, I know where she's coming from. A lot of the time when you either succeed or you fail with your team, it's usually your fault. And what I mean by that is, when you play in high school and your parents or your coach, a lot of the time people are like, if you're not the best player on the team or the worst player on the team, it's usually your fault. I remember a lot of times in high school when we would lose a game, a lot of times in school people would be like, well, it's because he messed up or he had the problems on the team. And a lot of times when you won, they wouldn't want to give it to you. They want to give it to somebody else. And I remember when we lost my senior year, a lot of people – we want to put that on me, put that on other people in the program, but most of the time it was on me. And I felt for her in that she kept that pressure on her shoulders all year, and they won, and she led them to Jackson. So I salute her for that. And I know what she's going through, and I know that she's tough-minded and made it to that point. My boys' player of the year, and I know he was my boys' player of the week last week, but it was Carson Rounds.
Yeah, I mean, there was no other choice, really.
They scored like 60 points total. He scored 40 by himself.
Mm-hmm.
He scored 40 points by himself. And then,
in a high school basketball
game. Yes, he had 40 points. He had like – and he didn't play the second part of the fourth quarter. He played only –
what position does he
28
play?
28 points, point guard. But he's scored first point guard. Brooks Brand, too. I want to talk about him from Biggersville.
Had
started
a huge game today.
Yeah, he made three three-pointers in the first 5 minutes of the game today. I mean, they started hot and finished hot. I mean, they beat Brace Springs pretty handily today.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's really interesting to look at because there's so many different teams that when you watch them, they... I talked about it a little bit earlier. If I'm sure most of you know, if you're listening, that I do radio broadcast for Union County. And watching today, West Union, McEvans, and also Biggersville and Lumberton earlier in 1A girls action, you have those players and those teams that just this time of year, it's almost like when they put the ball up, they just wheel it into the basket. They find a way to just make things work out for them. And, I mean, Carson Rowland is one, like you mentioned, that really done that all postseason, really his whole career, but especially in this postseason in his senior year to get to Jackson. But was there anybody else that you really had to mention as, like, a player of the week? If not, I have my teams. But
yeah, I wanted to mention a team, too, before you got
go,
to your
go ahead. Go
okay,
ahead.
I was wanting to mention Choctaw County. I mean, they didn't know that they were going to be still in the playoffs until about Thursday, and they had a game on Saturday. They Charleston had an ineligible player ordeal, and Choctaw County got alerted Wednesday or Thursday that they were going to take part in the Saturday game against Northside, and they ended up winning that game and get to go to Jackson. What a 180 of emotion that would have been to where your season is ending all the way to, I'm getting to go to the Big House. I mean, that there's no words to describe what they were going through in those 3 or 4 days.
No, yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, that's unbelievable. That's unbelievable to be able to pull that off as a team. My teams of the week – On the girls' side, I'm gonna be a little bit biased. I hadn't talked about them all year. Right. West Union, they ended up losing today, but I just got to be honest. I'm proud of my sister. I'm proud of that team. If you don't know, my sister Ella K. Taylor, she tore her ACL the beginning of the year. Decided to try to play through it to try to get the help the senior girls get to Jackson. Ended up losing to Ingemar in the division tournament. We're the 2 seed. They got Jumbertown, beat them at home. Then they had to go on the road, play 1 seed Vardaman, upset them on the road. Then they played 1 seed Blue Mountain, who scored 195 points in 2 games. We talked about that last week.
At their place, too.
At their place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, played them 3rd round on the road. And I'm going to be honest. I thought that they were going to come out and play hard, play great. I thought they were going to have a tough time winning that game. And then they go out and not only won it, but won it by 10. And it honestly wasn't even that close. Right. They blocked up defensively, played great job. They went today, really only 7 players they had to come off the bench, played a super athletic and talented McEvans team, and only ended up losing by 6. And, I mean, so I'm proud of that team. I think they deserve a mention for how resilient they've been all year, fighting through injuries. Yeah, no doubt about that. On the guys' side, I'm going to stay small, Biggersville. You know, I've talked about it with y'all, and I've talked about it with other people. Not just at the professional or the college level, but at the high school level too. It's just so hard to win consistently, especially not just to win, but to win championships. Because not only do you have to be talented, not only do you have to play 100% every night, eventually you got to get lucky at some points too.
That happened last year. Was it last year when Cam Smith made that 3?
And Biggersville, that's why. Yeah. You know, they win that championship against Ingemar because if Cam Smith doesn't hit that shot, I think Ingemar probably wins that game in overtime. Uh-huh. But he does, and now Biggersville wins it. And now they're playing for a repeat back-to-back title on Thursday, which in basketball I don't feel like you see very much in Mississippi basketball. Sometimes you see football and baseball. I don't feel like that's something you see very much in Mississippi basketball. So, shout out to Coach Cliff Little and that Biggersville squad. They're 1 game away from pulling off a repeat. And like I said, it's so hard to consistently win championships. Not just that, but to consistently win in the postseason. And they've done it for the past
few years. The Biggersville squads, plural, because they've got the girls and the boys going.
Yeah, they've got both squads.
Yeah.
Look, I got a team of the week.
Oh, Toby.
For the women. Give me the Tisch County girls.
I never saw it coming.
He's never seen the Choctaw County girls or Choctaw Central girls. I've heard it's legendary.
But Tisch, big overtime win.
No. And honestly, Toby, I'll give you jokes just because you mentioned earlier. You said the only team I really know about is Tisch at this point.
Yeah.
But I give you jokes, but before I decide, you know what, I'm bragging on my sister West Union. They were my girls' team of the week. Last week, they go and play Pontotoc, the defending 4A champions,
yeah,
in a game that I think 99% of the area thought that Pontotoc was going to win, go back and probably repeat.
Right.
And like I said, it's so hard to consistently win. Tisch County goes on the road in a tough environment. Pontotoc wins that 3rd round, and then they beat Pass Christian today. And now they have a date with Choctaw Central. And
they're bringing a state title to Burnsville and IUK.
Honestly, I'm rolling. Choctaw Central is going to be tough. That's a tough 4A women's squad.
Says it's like playing 10 girls when you're only playing five. Mm-hmm. They press. They yeah. play hard.
They're going to play hard. Yeah. But honestly, I like Tisch County's chances. The Lady Braves have been rolling. That's a huge win to go. If you can go win at Pontotoc in the playoffs, you've sold me on your team just about the rest of the season. So that's another team that really deserved a shout out.
My team of the week, yep. Men's basketball, Choctaw County. Coach Pettit.
Coach Pettit from Houston. I forgot about that.
Houston,
yeah.
Houston. How about, what was it, last week ago, something about an ineligible
player. That's what Grady was just talking about a minute ago. Yeah, no. Yeah. Hey, no. Get that shout out in. Get that Houston connection in, baby. But
anyway, for his team to have that, the season's over and all that, and then come back and go to the Big House next week.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Resilience is the name of the game when you get to this point. And when you see teams that rise above it, whether it be injury or unfortunate circumstances like that, those are the teams that you usually end up seeing win championships.
Yeah. Coach Pettit, he was my dad's assistant coach. Do you remember Coach Pettit?
I remember Coach Pettit a little bit.
Yeah, he was my dad's assistant coach at Nettleton. Then he went to North Pontotoc, then he went to Houston, and now he's at Choctaw County. So he's a well-rounded coach. He's a really good coach. And I respect Coach Pettit. I'm glad they got that win and went to the Big House.
Yeah, quickly, since by the time this episode comes out, next week the championships will be over. We'll finally know who's won from 1 to 6. In your opinion, right now, from 1A to 6, who do you got winning it all?
Do you have the schedule right here?
Yeah, that's the schedule.
Okay, let's see.
Winning it all.
I'm going to read it off.
It's 1 through 6.
Let's start with Thursday's games that we already have set in stone, and then we'll start predicting from the final
Chuck four. Will make picks, too. We're all going to make picks.
Yeah, no, okay, cool. Girls, Biggersville and McEvans, who do y'all have?
Biggersville's going to win by 10. I'll give a spread minus 10. So.
I'll give it to Biggersville.
I've got Biggersville as well. Yeah. I've seen them twice in the last 3 days. Hennessego makes those girls run. Goldie Butler has been a huge presence coming back off of injury. I heard from Coach Cliff Little that she has sustained two major knee injuries and came back late in the season. She's been huge for them inside. So I like Biggersville there too. Byers and Biggersville on 1A boys. I'm gonna roll with the Lions in a double championship win on Thursday.
Upset, give me Byers.
Byers and Biggersville. Byers looks super athletic. I've seen them. They were throwing alley oops off the backboard today. But Biggersville's been there. I believe in them, so I'm going Biggersville.
Tails never fails. Give me Byers.
4A girls, Tisch County and Choctaw Central.
I'm going with Tisch.
I'll take Central.
Choctaw Central.
I'm going to go with Tisch as well. I got to do that for my man Blake Long. Blake, if you're listening, which you're probably not, that's for you. That pick's for your alma mater Braves right there.
I'm a Belmont.
The Fighting Jerry Longs. That's who that's for.
Yeah.
And finally, boys, Clarksdale and Raymond.
Raymond's a dynasty.
I was going to say, I don't know much about Raymond. Yeah. But
they never lose.
To be honest, I saw Clarksdale lock up New Albany on Saturday, so I'm going to go Clarksdale. Okay.
I got family in Clarksdale. Give me Clarksdale.
I'm going Clarksdale too.
I got Raymond then. I'm the only one going with Raymond.
Tuesday, in 2A girls, there is Belmont, West Lincoln, Newsite, and Lake remaining. I'm going to go Hill Country Final, Belmont, Newsite, and I'm going to give it to the Cardinals winning that one.
I actually know a little bit about Belmont. Go Belmont.
Belmont New Site finals with Belmont with a win.
New Site. Ramsey, I'll be that for you.
He's fading all of us.
Pine Grove versus Heidelberg and boys. Choctaw County, like we talked about, versus Velma Jackson.
That's tough.
Yeah. I love the resiliency of Choctaw County. I do think Velma Jackson will probably put that run to an end. And then I'm going to say Pine Grove gets there. And I hate to say this, I think they might fall a game short. I'm going to go Velma Jackson and win 2A, guys.
Give me Pine Grove. Fading you.
Fading me.
Velma Jackson, I mean, the state championships ran through them the past few years in 3A, but now they've dropped down to 2A. I mean, I love Pine Grove's run. Carson Rowland, I mean, he has that Mamba mentality. He's when he scores a bucket, he looks at the opposing crowd and flexes his bicep. I respect that, but we'll have to see how that comes out when he face a giant like Velma Jackson. So I'm going to go with Velma Jackson.
Choctaw County.
You got to roll with Coach Pettit. You got to do it. 5A girls, Columbus and Brookhaven and Neshoba Central and West Jones. Here's a little word for you two gentlemen who don't know anything about women's basketball in 5A. Neshoba Central is 31-0 this year.
They're cold.
They're on.
Name up again.
Neshoba Central, West Jones, Columbus, and Brookhaven.
Okay.
I'm going to go Neshoba Central, finishing that one out. I think they beat Brookhaven in the finals.
Brookhaven winning it.
5 field goals.
Give them a +4. They win by 1.
I'm going with the Lady Rockets, Neshoba Central. They're going to beat them by like 15, 20
points. When a team's 31-0, it's hard to bet against them.
They're triple crossing instead of making shoot threes.
Look, all it takes is the 1 and 31-1.
This is Alabama and Troy.
Come on, Chuck. You know you want to.
The Neshoba County Fair is starting a little early down there.
We're going to Neshoba. That's a good one.
That's the line right there. That might be the episode title. 5A Boys, New Hope, and I'm so sorry to anybody who might have family there. Picayune, I think that's
Picayune.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. I knew I was going to butcher that. Holmes County Central and Florence. I'm going to go with Florence and New Hope just runs basketball up there. I'm going to give New Hope the win.
I'm going with the team I can't pronounce. Say it one more time.
Picayune.
Come on.
Picayune, let's go.
I'm going with Holmes County Central. They're pretty good. I've seen them play in the past.
Yeah.
I'm going with them.
New Hope's going to need a New Hope after this game. We're going, was it Holmes or Hines? I don't care.
Holmes County Central. Same thing. Jackson County.
The Sports Hour podcast where you come for your riveting high school basketball coverage. Finally, let's go 3A and 6A. And on the girls' side, Boonville, Franklin County, Knoxville County, and Union. I figure most people are going to believe it will be Boonville and Union. And I am going to say the Blue Devils bring it back home.
I think the Blue Devils got it. Give me Boonville.
I think Boonville's got it, too. I mean, they made it out of the north, so I think...
Michael Smith's just too good of a coach for me to bet against.
Yeah.
They're going to be calling it Boonville for much long after this game. Boonville.
What are they going to call it?
He's going with Boonville.
Boonville.
I'm just going to call it Champs. That's what I'm going to call it.
Holly, guys, 3A boys, Holly Springs, Southeast Lauderdale, and Boonville as well, and St. Patrick. Here's a little factoid for you again. Holly Springs, saw them playing the hotbed against Myrtle, dominated Myrtle. They're 13-16 on the year. That's an under 500 team that has made a postseason run to get to Jackson.
You forget this is Holly Springs there. That's right. Basketball.
Since it's coming up soon, give me St. Patrick.
That's good, Toby. I like that.
I think St. Patrick is going to beat Boonville. They're 31-2 on the year. You know, the St. Patrick usually runs very good athletic programs in 3A.
St. Patty's Day is coming early, is what you're saying.
I'm going to say that it's Southeast Lauderdale and St. Patrick, and I'm also going to go with St. Patrick winning.
I've learned from since high school, their school name has Lauderdale in it. Don't bet against them.
That's a good point. That's a good point, Chuck. Dang it, I keep calling you Toby. I'm so sorry.
You're good.
But, yeah, no.
I'll put that evil on him.
That's a great point, actually.
I've got Boonville and what's the other two?
Holly Springs and Southeast Lauderdale.
I've got an all-north final, and I think Holly will pull it out in the end.
Wow, you're going with the under 500 team to win it all.
Holly Springs, yeah.
Wow, that's
not
a big
so
one
fast,
right
my friend.
6A girls, it will be Germantown and Harrison Central alongside Clinton and Meridian. I'm going to go with Harrison Central and Meridian in an all-South final, and I'm going to say that Meridian pulls that one out. I've heard a lot of great things about Meridian, so I think they'll pull that one out.
Well, I've never been to Germantown, but I've been to Germantown, Memphis, and I like Germantown, Memphis, so give me Germantown.
Germantown has a girl she's a five-star. She's on the EYBL circuit. She's got an offer from UConn. She's got an offer from South Carolina. She's got like major Division I offers, so I'm going with Germantown.
I'm going Germantown, too. They don't bluff.
Can I change my pick? I don't like. Yeah, I didn't know about the 5-star. I can't lie. But no, you know what? I'm sticking with it. I'm sticking with Meridian. Finally, 6A boys. All right, guys, I'm going to put on my shade jacket. Can you tell me who's not here? Olive Branch, Biloxi, Clinton, and Brandon. Tupelo's not here yet again. Can you believe it, ladies and gentlemen?
Was it Olive Branch?
Yeah, they get. And I don't mean to throw shade at Tupelo, but every year we hear how Tupelo's finally running down to Jackson and winning it with in a breeze. And every year you don't find them at the Big House.
So quick little factoid, real quick: Biloxi and Petal went into 4 overtimes to go to Jackson the other day. I mean, they won by like five. It was like 90-85. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was pretty crazy. But I'll go with Brandon as state champions, though.
I'm going to say the Conquistadors of Olive Branch. That's, first of all,
that's
basketball, awesome nickname. Yeah. Awesome nickname. And two, Olive Branch runs basketball. I believe, no, it was Center Hill that last year was a repeating champ. But Olive Branch has consistently competed at a high level. I've seen them play multiple times over the past couple years, whether it's in the Lighthouse, the Hotbed, or somewhere else. I like that Olive Branch program. I like what they do there. They consistently win. I'm going to go Olive Branch.
I'm also going Olive Branch.
Was Biloxi one of the teams?
Yes.
I don't think I picked a really South team. Give me Biloxi.
That's a good pick.
You going Biloxi as well?
I went Brandon.
You went Brandon. Okay, yeah. Brandon. All right. Well, we picked our championship games. We'll try to go back and compare next week when we are all when it comes to the championship, we're all 0-6 or something.
I'm undefeated. I don't lose picks.
Oh, you don't?
No, I don't.
Okay. I've got one more piece of news and we can move
on
to high school sports. This is the first time I've ever seen this happen in a high school game. Nettleton's entire student section at the Nettleton and Boonville game got thrown out of the contest. They got thrown out. The police had to come and escort the student section out of the arena.
That's Tennessee volunteer type beat right there.
They did not throw mustard or golf balls. They yelled at the cheerleaders, so they sent them out of the building. Before the second half started, they came back into the building with the jean shorts on, flannels, and high boots. So you know it was legit when they came back in the ballgame.
So do you know why they let them come back in?
I have no idea why they let them come back in. School officials came over there first. They left. Policemen came over there. Then they left. And it was just a whole ordeal. They let them back in because, I mean, it was a high-intensity game. They let them back in, and it was a fun game to watch. I mean, from beginning to end, it was a really fun game. But that's the first time I've ever seen that happen in a high school sporting event, an entire student section getting thrown out.
No, that's definitely a first for me, too. But, gentlemen, we're about getting close to the end of this episode. What do y'all say we ended off with a little bit of Hot or Valid?
Cool.
You like it? Yeah. Now, what we're going to do this week, instead of me centralizing all the picks we talked about before the episode, we all are going to have a hot take. And we're all going to debate on whether the person's take is legit or not. Who wants to start it?
I'll start
Chuck,
it.
Start it.
Hot or valid. The Grizzlies signed a big free agency name this summer and make the NBA Finals next year.
I'm going to say valid, but also hot. I think it's valid if they were to sign a big name that they could make a run. But also, I don't think this Grizzlies team, we've talked, me and Corey have really been the pusher of this when we talked about in the podcast before. I don't think the Grizzlies really need to sign that big of a name. They've got such a good young core. They've got cap space. So rather than necessarily go get that big name, find those veterans that still contribute very well, but they don't have to be LeBron, an AD, you know, a Giannis, a Luka. Go get somebody that can just fill the roles of what you need.
A name that popped out to me is Bradley Beal.
That's a name that
okay.
People will be watching.
I think that is valid, but I don't think it's a super big name. I'm not saying because I think he just got locked up to an extension this offseason.
Cat.
No. But a guy like Zach LaVine.
Yeah, no, the Bulls aren't trading Zach.
No. I'm not saying. Yeah, I'm saying a guy like Zach LaVine.
Yeah, I mean, if you could, I get what you mean. Yeah.
Maybe in 2K. Yeah.
If there was a Zach LaVine tree out there, we could just pick him off of.
That'd be a big name.
But I do agree.
Like with a big Brandon. Name, like an RJ Barrett or a Cole Anthony or something like that, maybe. But I don't think like a major like what. Like, I want to ask you, Chuck, like, what do you mean by big name? Like a Bradley Beal? Is that what you're saying?
That's like the top. Yeah. Like, the average.
Another like superstar to come by.
Like, about an 85 overall in 2K.
So, who is that? Like,
so, Zach LaVine.
Like, a little bit better
no,
than
No, Zach LaVine's better than 85.
I don't know. I think he's around that average. I don't play 2K. So.
But the thing, like, the Grizzlies, they got 3 first-round picks this draft. Like, at some point, your core so young, you're gonna have to like trade those assets away to get a big name because, or you're just gonna end up with a
super young squad that's gonna compete.
If the Grizzlies get Carl Anthony Towns, I'm quitting this podcast and just putting that on the record now because I will not be able to bear Toby.
Okay, well, so I think we all said valid. I've got two.
Okay,
I've got two. Ja Morant finishes the season out and competes for an MVP this year.
I was arguing this with somebody the other day. Me and Corey were. They were saying Ja's not in the MVP conversation. That's it's just erroneous. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy. He might not be in the top three because I can name to you right now Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid, and DeMar DeRozan. That's probably my top three right now. But Ja's four or five. And, I mean, I don't really think that's debatable.
But what I'm saying is he plays himself into the top three.
Maybe. I think it would take DeMar having maybe a bit of a slump. I think Jokic right now is still the front runner. But, yeah, he could slide in that position. But regardless, Ja is competing for an MVP. There's still a month and a half of the season left to go. So, yeah, I'm going to say valid.
If you've listened to our podcast and you've listened to my personal opinion on the NBA and the current status of it, I've been an anti-Ja Morant guy this entire year. And y'all know that. I'm a huge Lakers fan. I haven't respected Ja Morant. With watching the Lakers last night and watching Ja Morant and the Grizzlies today, I enjoy watching the Grizzlies play. I enjoy Ja Morant. Why? Because they bring energy. Their energy is so fun to watch. Because you watch the Lakers last night, you watch LeBron walking down the court, and he makes a half pass, and he goes out of bounds. We had like 20 turnovers in the first half last night. Jeannie Buss, the owner of the Lakers, left the game middle ways of the third quarter. The fans are yelling at the players, and the players are yelling back at the fans. They were booing the players. It was awful as a Lakers fan. I watched the entire game. I don't know why I did, but I watched the entire game, and I'm like, this is what I have to look forward to. Watching the Grizzlies or seeing the highs of the Grizzlies now, it's fun to see a future unfolding in front of you. And I mean, as someone that has neglected the Grizzlies, hated watching the Grizzlies, it's fun to watch them knowing that their energy is going in the right direction.
So you're saying it's valid or hot?
He plays himself in the top three. Of course. I mean, I said that when you started. It's valid.
Valid.
All right, and then my second one, which I know me and you are the only two wrestling fans, I guess. I think Grady keeps up with it. I think Chuck, you keep up a little bit. This WrestleMania is setting up to be a top five worst WrestleMania in history.
WrestleMania hasn't been good since I was 9 years old.
I mean,
when Undertaker got beat,
I think
I watched it live. I cried.
That's a true story. I think the concern is valid. But I think it'll even itself out. There's still potential for it.
Why did they turn Edge heel?
I don't know. But no, I think the potential's there for it. I think the concern is very valid. I mean, when you're talking about two of your top matches being Sami Zayn versus Johnny Knoxville from and then Vince McMahon versus Pat McAfee. Then, you know.
No, that is a rumor that
that's what I'm saying. It's a rumor. I'm not saying it's confirmed. Neither one of those is confirmed yet. But when those are the rumored big matches on the card, then you're
well. I know Pat McAfee really Thursday is him and Vince are talking on his podcast or his show. I think they're going to lay the groundwork for that, man.
Yeah, no, for sure.
My goodness gracious.
I can't see a 76-year-old Vince McMahon getting in the ring.
I will say this, though. I'm really excited for Logan Paul and The Miz versus The Mysterios.
Well, think about this, Peyton. You said 76-year-old Vince McMahon. How about a retired punter that's a podcaster getting in the ring? That's even worse.
And now he's a full-time commentator. Yeah.
I don't know if you watched the one time Pat McAfee actually got in the ring. He's pretty decent.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty decent, actually.
I think
Pat McAfee could do no wrong. That man can do literally no wrong.
Yeah, Pat McAfee would go over. There's no way Vince would beat Pat McAfee.
I hope to goodness not.
Oh, he's going to go over. Vince McMahon's going to go over.
I mean, who knows?
It's valid, and I don't think it's definitely going to be top five, and it's not 2 through 5.
What's going to be real nice is that Monday night after when Cody Rhodes comes back. That's going to be real nice.
Grady, what's your hot take sort
of? I was talking about a minute ago with the Lakers being the way that they are. Are the Lakers a dumpster fire that's not extinguishable anymore after this
for this season?
Yeah.
No, yeah, that's completely valid. I think the Lakers may make the playoffs. I mean, I think they may make it through the play-in and get you the 8 seed, maybe the 7 seed. Who knows? West is too good at the top. I don't see any chance the Lakers make it out of the first round, just to be honest with you. It's just a team that, you know, you watch it and you almost feel like LeBron has given up on that team. Because you're in such an interesting position because the Lakers are, I think they are committed to trying to win now, obviously, with LeBron and AD. But when you won't trade your 2027 draft pick, which is sad that you're down to, okay, this is the only pick we have we can trade. But when Pelinka won't trade that, it makes you realize he saw what happened when LeBron left Cleveland. And he's thinking, okay, if LeBron just ups and leaves in 2 years, I'm not letting him, you know, leave us you know, our the future of our team would to be nothing.
And what has hurt the Lakers in this whole ordeal? And we've talked about this before too, where this past summer we had Buddy Hield, who was a guy that was less than $10 million on his contract. And Pelinka was signed. He was going to sign him. LeBron comes to Pelinka and says, "I want Russell Westbrook. This is who I want." And Frank Vogel, the head coach of the Lakers, is like, I don't want Russell Westbrook. I want Buddy Hield, who will make me open threes. They were talking about today, Colin Cowherd was talking about how Kyle Korver added 3 or 4 years to his playing career because he played with LeBron because LeBron got him so many open shots. They signed Russell Westbrook instead of Buddy Hield. And with that, we're in the situation that we are now. And Rob Pelinka has publicly stated, the Lakers have publicly stated that we wanted Buddy Hield this past summer. You know what they did? They went and got Russell Westbrook. And LeBron James is publicly coming out saying, why are you calling me out? It's not my fault. And I put my foot in my mouth last week by saying the Lakers will make the finals this week. And I'm eating my words today. I promise you I am. Because this whole week I was watching them play. I saw their energy and saw how they were coming out and playing. There's no way that team makes any push for playoff contention.
Well, I think when the New Orleans Pelicans changes their Twitter bio to beat the Lakers by 28 in LA,
first of all, that's poverty.
But that's still, poverty. It's time to say that that's valid. Yeah. I think it is valid.
You know, LeBron's a top five player.
We say that's poverty, but the Grizzlies are literally the meme team of the NBA.
And the Grizzlies are amazing. Their Twitter is unmatched.
The Pelicans are trying.
The Kraken rivaling.
I'm wearing a real NHL team jersey. Give me the Sabres right here.
If your owner leaves midway through the third quarter disgusted at the way that their team's playing, that Sabres has to be a real sign team. For how bad.
Was Jeannie Buss disgusted or she just don't care?
She was disgusted. You could tell by her demeanor and how she walked out, she was disgusted in the way that their team was playing.
Did you say you had two takes or one take?
That was just one take.
Okay.
But it's a huge take for the future of an organization.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to end us off on this episode with...
Chuck didn't get a hotter ballad.
Yeah. He opened us up.
Oh, sorry.
Silly goose.
Tricks for kids.
Final hot or valid. We're going to go back to high school basketball. And this was me, you know, being down in Jackson again today. Stayed overnight. Went to the big house. Better. They put a little bit of work into doing it. I'm sorry, if I was a high school player, 10 out of 10, even if I don't get to stay overnight, I'd rather play state championship in the pavilion than I would at the big house. I mean, and I've had a lot of contention over this. What are y'all's thoughts?
What's your reasoning behind that?
Pavilion's nicer, better atmosphere, better floor, better facilities. The big house's facilities are terrible.
I can understand you're not a traditionalist.
I would rather play at the Pavilion, which is one of the nicer arenas in not only the area but in college basketball, than play at the Big House where they put a McDonald's QR code in center floor.
Okay, yeah. I understand where you're coming from now. That is pretty bad.
The MHSAA cares nothing about their money. And if I can get on a little bit of a rant about the MHSAA too, because I still want y'all to answer this, but I have to get this off my chest before the episode's over. Why in the world can two teams play for 32 minutes, run over each other, foul each other, you know, slap each other for all intents and purposes, play physical basketball, and then at the end of the game when the final buzzer sounds and the season's over, oh, y'all can't shake hands. You go to your locker room, you go to the locker room. Still not allowed to shake hands. I saw two teams walk off the floor today because they couldn't shake hands because the MHSA would not allow it.
Yeah, and I know we're not a political
podcast. That's
awful.
That is awful.
Yeah, that's horrendous. It really is. But I think that is valid. I think as a high school athlete, I would rather play Southern Miss, Mississippi State, or Ole Miss in the Big House.
I don't know about Southern Miss. That's a push. Or that's a stretch. But the Hump or the Pavilion, yes.
Because isn't that used to how it used to be, right? Where they rotate.
So here's what happened. Originally, that you know, for years it was the Big House. And then in 2015, they're like, all right, we're going to send more teams to Jackson. Half of them are going to play at the Big House, and somehow the other half will play in Jackson State.
Were at the Coliseum too, Mississippi College? Or was it Mississippi College? Or did they play something there?
I don't remember if they played any there. But MAIS plays at Mississippi College.
That's right.
But anyway, so they did that for a couple of years. Nobody really liked it. So then they had their best system, and I think it was 2019, right before COVID hit, where they said, all right, first two rounds are, you know, home based on if you're the 1, 2, 3, or 4. Then you play your quarterfinal at a neutral site at a community college like ICC or a four-year university that's smaller like Mississippi Valley State. Then they go to the Big House for the semifinals, and then they play in the Pavilion for the state championship.
Man, you that get sounds that, perfect.
You get that experience of Jackson. You play in the, but then you play in the nicest facility in the state of Mississippi for the state championship.
Say it louder game. For the people in the South.
And then you, and also what I love about it is in the quarterfinals, why in the world should 2-1 seeds, for instance, Biggersville went on the road and girls and guys and defeated Ingomar to go to state on the road. You want to know the reason they were the road team in that one?
Why?
Because Ingomar's region number was higher than Biggersville. Ingomar was 2-1A and Biggersville was 1-1A.
So what you're saying is Mississippi high school sports need to change everything.
Yes. That's terrible. When you're deciding who has a home playoff game in a deciding game to go to Jackson over what team you put basically a man-made number on because you're like, I like that region being 2 and I like that region being 1. That's stupid.
It does alternate, though. So
it does, same. But even still, it's a stupid way of
don't
making
they,
it. Just play at a neutral site.
Since we're on it, don't they do that for baseball and football as well?
They do.
The same system where they play in a neutral site in Jackson?
I think they do for like North Half. Well, I think for North Half, I think that's how it works, but I'm not for sure.
For baseball, everything's home or away at whoever's team's in the higher seed. And then it'll do the numbers if it's a tie. And then state championships in Jackson or Pearl at the.
There has to be a better way to do it. That's all I'm going to say.
Going back to our main valid or hot take point of being at the Big House or not, growing up, just a kid of basketball. There's no more surreal feeling. Like, when you go to church on Sunday and, like, you talk about going into, like, the Vatican or somewhere like that. I mean, I'm not comparing religion to basketball at all. But I'm just saying, like, other than church in my life, basketball has been the mecca of my life. And, that's just honesty. They say when you walk in Cameron Indoor Stadium and you see the floor, it's like a out-of-body experience. When you go and go to church at a certain place, like the Vatican, like I said, or the, what's the thing called in France that burned recently?
Notre Dame.
The Notre Dame.
Yes, like when you go there, it's like a religious experience, you're an out-of-body experience. I remember walking in the Big House the first time when I was younger, and you walk in there, and it's just wide walls. You see nothing but just the floor, and usually the basketball meal, not a McDonald's QR code, of course. MHSA is just like any other corporation, just money hungry industry. But the basketball on the middle of the floor, the blue, and then the balls in the free throw lines, the 3-point lines, the orange three-point lines, and the bleachers, blue bleachers, like all the way up to the top. I remember, like, I just sat there and couldn't breathe for several minutes. Why? I don't know. It's just something to where being a person of basketball, growing up in Mississippi, the Big House is the mecca of basketball in Mississippi, even though it's a piece of crap. Like we've often talked about, it's
our piece of crap.
It's our piece of crap, and I love it.
That's a good example.
And I mean, it's just so sad to me that it's become that it's a piece of crap, and that we do have these nice facilities in Oxford. And I love we go to Ole Miss. I love the Pavilion. I love the Hump. My uncle played in the Hump at Mississippi State. But the Big House will forever and always be a surreal place for me.
It's funny you said that wording because that's exactly what I called it earlier on my broadcast was the mecca of Mississippi basketball. Okay. Because I will say, despite my opinion, it is what most people consider the mecca of Mississippi basketball. And as a kid, I did aspire to be there. But when the MHSA and Jackson and the Mississippi State government, whatever you want, whoever's responsible, won't put any money into that facility, then I don't know why you wouldn't want to play at a much nicer facility for that. Because, I mean, what you got the big thing for them this year, they had a big video board on the top, which is really nice. Really nice. Made it look a lot better.
Yeah.
But when you're not putting stats or a score, or you have to get a freaking binoculars to check the score in the side of the arena because it's 40 miles away from where you're sitting, and then you've got this big video board, and they're just running ads. They're not showing video. They're not showing stats. They're not showing scores. Again, it's just the MHSA being so money hungry that they can't get out of their own way to create a great basketball experience.
I know, like when I was at least when I was there.
At least when it was here, the only reason I say that, at least when it was here, Ole Miss helped put on a great experience.
Oh yeah, and when I was 5 or 6, they needed upgrades even worse then than they do now. And I know people on Twitter that are like way older than I am and have been in the Big House way longer than I have. They said in the 80s it needed to be upgraded. And I mean, of course, it's not going to get any better. It's a money-hungry industry that we've talked about in the past. But it's just – and you can take a poll. You can take a poll on the people of Would you rather be at the Big House or somewhere else? And I feel like the poll would say that they would rather be at the Big House.
What you're saying is you need to run for governor to put money into the Big House, is what you're saying, right?
And to push it over and just make a new one.
Sorry about that. Ran over. I could rant for 3 hours on the MHSA. I could. So
do it, Peyton. You got a platform to do it. The Sports Hour Pod. At the Sports Hour Pod.
I don't need to be arrested, and that would probably come with that. Because I'm... Anyway, let's get off that. Guys, we're about in an hour. This has flown by. It's been a really good episode. We've talked a lot. Got an episode title in mind, so you know I'm ready to go. Hey, I don't know about y'all, but
again, too, like we have. I mean, this is sort of off in right field too, but we have a country that we're allowed to do stuff like this. I mean, a lot of things that's going on overseas. We're blessed to be able to be in the country that we're in, and be blessed to be able to talk sports on a Tuesday night, Wednesday morning now, I guess. Or yeah. Monday night, Tuesday morning, but we're blessed to be able to be Americans.
No, that's a great point. And we're not going to get into the political thing. But, yeah. You know, if you're listening to this, I will say, encourage you, just take a moment, stop, pray for the people
pray for Ukraine and pray
for the people in Europe. Yeah. You know, that's a...
Especially all our troops, which, again, not being, but all the troops that are now in Poland and over there, just pray for all of them.
Yeah. No, not to get too into the political side, but it is a great point to bring up. You know, count your blessings before you lay down every night. But another blessing is doing this podcast. Thank you guys for listening to us. Always appreciate any support we get, whether it's one listen or 1,000 listens. I enjoy doing this, and I'm glad.
Let's go, Tisch County.
Yeah, let's go, Braves. But
Lady Braves, come on.
Anybody got any final things before we kick out of here?
Go Rebs.
Got the Rebs, man. Big series this weekend.
We're glad to do this, and we're glad to experience this with each other, but we're glad that you're also tagging along with us.
Absolutely. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Sports Hour Pod. That's always the case. Check back on Spotify if you missed any of our episodes. But with that, I think we're about done. So for Toby, for Grady, and for Chuck, I'm Peyton saying so long, God bless, and we'll see you next week, as always, on the Sports Hour Podcast.